Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Let's wait another minute or two before we start.
Okay.
So you're all prepared for the holidays?
Almost.
Okay.
I'm waiting for a new sofa, and I don't want to put my little table in front of the door with the menorah and then have to move it. I don't know what day they're coming. It was 6 weeks today that we ordered it, so I'll probably wait to, you know, wait until Tuesday night if I have to, or Tuesday during the day.
Is it the first candle was Tuesday night?
I think so. I haven't really looked because we're also bricking the back of our house, and the bricklayers couldn't finish the job because of the weather, so I've not, yes. Tuesday night is like first Hanukkah light.
This is the one holiday that makes me confused because of the way the calendars work.
Mm-hmm.
Normally they'd say it's the...
Well, you know, they normally don't, they'll say first, they'll say Hanukkah on the daytime of the next day, not the night before. No, although this calendar says Hanukkah Eve, like first Hanukkah light, and that's Tuesday night. And then Wednesday says first day of Hanukkah. But most calendars, that's what they do. They'll just put Hanukkah. And
yeah, that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
First candle is Tuesday night. And because we're so used to looking at the night before, so
mm-hmm.
I'm glad it's clarified there. Good evening, Malka. How are you?
Good evening. Fine, thank you. A little chilly, but fine.
We've even got snow predicted. No,
I think everybody in the south is chilly, and everybody in the west is burning up.
Yeah, that's true. One extreme to the other.
Exactly. So let us begin. I'll begin with Olashem Yichud. We're starting with section 18 of Parasha Noach from the Zohar, and we'll start tonight with verse 141. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Barichu Ishkin David Hilu Urchimu Urchilu Urchilu Urchimu Le'avda L'shem Yudhe Bovavhe B'Yichudah Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayehino amadunai Elohim elena maasei adenu kunonei elena maasei adenu kunoneihu. Tavachem yosvei chedel inun marechon tishuvan dinau gamehu meinun chovin dechayavaya Ugin di Adam Harishon Tav bityuta Kame mare yati val Inun di itzmenau Mechovechon Ve inun b'nei asad chadel Kada'a eda Mechazal Hazel ani Ugin tachi hu yatev letara deginta de den vecha de beho vatsadikayayo kiat yan becha hu orcha deginta de den. Another explanation is that inhabitants of cessation refers to all those who repented and ceased performing the sins of the wicked. Because Adam repented before his master, he sits among others who also repented, ceased sinning, and are called inhabitants of cessation. Cease sinning, and are, as it is written, I will know how frail, the Hebrew word chadel, I am. And therefore Adam sits at the gate of the Garden of Eden, and he is happy with the righteous who walk along the path and arrive at the Garden of Eden. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Okay, on the surface level, it looks like Adam is in Gan Eden, and he has souls who have repented, I guess, done teshuva, and they're sitting with him, and they're watching righteous come in, and he's happy to see the righteous come and arrive. That's what it looks like on the surface.
That is what it says on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not in the Garden of Eden, he's at the gate of the Garden of Eden.
Okay. Yeah. He's not allowed to go in.
Go ahead, Martha.
So he's still not allowed to go into the Garden of Eden. He's just at the gates.
Well, it doesn't say that outside. Okay.
I believe he is allowed to go into the Garden of Eden, but he's sitting out because that's what attracts people to the Garden of Eden. Otherwise, people wouldn't know that he's there, his life. Because when you do teshuvah, it restores the light that you gave away.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So he was allowed to go back into the garden at his death, when he passed to the other world, he was allowed to go back in?
Yes.
Okay.
He wasn't allowed to go back in after he sinned. But as long as he was doing teshuvah, he was still kept out. But ultimately, when his teshuvah is completed, he has restored his situation. He's the same person he was before he sinned, with one exception. He no longer has bread of shame. So he sits at the entrance to the Garden of Eden to welcome the righteous. But all of the other people who have done teshuvah, who are sitting with him, they're the righteous that he has welcomed. Because if they've done teshuvah, they have restored themselves to before they sinned. So it's like they're welcoming all of the people who have done teshuvah. And that's what they do. They sit at the garden of at the entrance to welcome people who've done teshuvah, to welcome the righteous, which are people who've done teshuvah. Because everyone sins, but not everyone does teshuvah.
It kind of reminds me of when the judges would sit at the gate of their, you know, they sit at the gate of their abode, I guess, or their place of court, I guess, back in biblical time, how the judges sit at the gate to judge.
Well, they sat in the gate of the city.
Right.
They sat in the gate of the temple. The Sanhedrin met in the gate of the temple when it existed. And in the other outlying cities, the courts were held in the gates of the city. So they didn't have special rooms that were courthouses.
Okay.
And this way it was public. Everybody could see what was going on.
I see. Okay.
That was the reason Deborah sat at the gate, so that she would be seen.
I believe she sat under the palm tree of
palm
Deborah.
Tree.
She,
mm-hmm.
But that wasn't,
was
too- you know, she went to the gate. She was, that was where people came to meet her. She was always sitting there.
But she didn't do it in a building that I read, so that it would be obvious that she wasn't, you know, that she was in the public's eye, that nothing was going
right
on behind scenes with, you know, they weren't to be seen with other men sometimes and that kind of thing.
Exactly. Verse 142. Unless, of course, there's other questions. I don't mean to move along without, unless we're ready. Tachatse makitiva marti lo aire yaviki man yakil lemecheme ya ela sofa dikra o kach diktiv ya be'eretz ha'chaim tachatse kad salpin Nishmatin le'atar Tzurora dechaye Taman mitchanan Zachara diaskapaklaria Dinachara dinahir Me'atar Ila'a dikola ve'ilu La'mitlabisha Nishmata Bezachara Dilvusha Achara Latek Tekel Beit Karava Lema Lemechel Me Ahunihora. Come and see. It is written, I said, I shall not see Yah. So he asks, who can ever see Yah now? And he replies that the end of the verse reveals the intention of the words, as it is written, Yah in the land of the living. Come and see. When the soul ascends and reaches the place of the bundle of life, they enjoy the illumination of the radiant mirror, which shines and brings forth light from the most elevated place of all. A soul not enclosed in the radiance of another garment could neither approach nor get close enough to see that light. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I think as we perform the mitzvot, that we gain our garments so that we go into the next world with garments so that we can approach the light. Because then we're in a different dimension, so to speak.
I guess, yeah, kind of like we're not clothed in righteousness. If you're not clothed in righteousness, you won't see the light.
And I think it would have to be the mitzvah that it gets the right kavanah too, not just performing a mitzvah just because you're performing a mitzvah.
You have to have the right kavanah, the right action, the right location, all of the four rights. But it's really, these code words, you're skipping over them and not asking what do they really mean. So he's saying, I shall not see Yah. I shall not see Yah in the land of the living. Well, where is the land of the living? We had one explanation that the land of the living is the daylight, daytime. And another, we've had it to be a place in the world of Atzilut. I believe it's Yesod of Atzilut. But in order to enjoy the illumination of the bundle of life, they have to have garments that can handle that illumination. And for many, all they can handle is the radiant mirror, meaning the level of the world of Briah. I don't remember if it's Briah or it's Yetzirah. I think it's Yetzirah. Because it speaks of the prophets getting a communication where they can see the message they're receiving, but only as a reflection from the higher world, from the mirror. There's a dark mirror, which is Malchut, and then these other terms and phrases. So I don't remember exactly what they are, and we don't truly understand this verse till we have those code words explained.
There's go ahead.
No, I was just saying that perhaps they'll explain these code words later on in this section.
Jonah coming out of the belly of the whale, and I mean it's showing him being spewed out. And then there's an angel that has garments, and which, you know, I take it to mean that, okay, he was going on to the other side, but he had to have his garments before he could enter.
Right.
Which is basically, you know, what the previous verse was saying.
And essentially, that's a lot that most of us read the Zohar when we don't really understand it. We kind of skip over the code words and kind of try and get the gist without understanding the code words. But we do need to take the time to try and delve into what those code words are. Now, in English, it's not as easy as when you look at the Hebrew and you can take the words apart and evaluate what the letters are teaching it.
Well, I take Yah in the land of the living because we're always told that the dead aren't really dead. They're called living. And so that kind of gave a hint to Yah in the land of the living. And
right.
The bundle of, I assume, to me, I thought that was a picture of being able to see Yah on that other side. Once you get to that stage where you have your garments and you arrive, which may be 3 days, I don't know if it's somehow associated with that. portrait with Jonah being in the well for 3 days, and then it shows him, it shows the angel with garments to give him. So, I mean, those were the things that went through my mind as you were reading it.
I understand, and validly so.
I remember reading back when we talked about how some of the righteous women study at night with a certain Zadokim, and the women are there. And I remember the Zohar saying that the women's garments were lighter than the men's garments. Not that they were together, but in that passage of the Zohar, it seemed like that's what I remember. And I wondered why the women's garments would be lighter than the men's garments.
Because they're higher spiritually.
Mm-hmm. So they need less garments? I would have thought it would have been the opposite, that they would have had brighter garments than the men.
Well,
because they're going to look in that, they're going to look in that mirror.
Yeah. I'm hearing you say the word lighter, L-I-G-H-T-E-R.
Right. Uh-huh.
And so, in that sense, we're not talking about the weight of the garment. We're talking about the color. How much light
right.
can it absorb?
Right. And it said they enjoy the illumination of the radiant mirror. Well, you know, a woman's going to look at her clothes and she's going to look at herself in the mirror. I think most people are going to have, you know, they're going to have that. Oh, look what I got on. Where's my body? I don't have my body, but oh, look at this dress, this garment, this beautiful light and garment.
Hanok, he said that the color, what it absorbs, what light it absorbs. So are we talking about color in the sense that we know color, like purple, green, yellow, blue, white? Is that what you mean by garment and the how it absorbs the light? Or is it the energy that we're talking about, the brightness of the energy?
Your body is considered to be a garment for your soul.
Mm-hmm.
So how much light can your body absorb without getting, quote unquote, sunburnt? And the lighter, meaning the more white a garment is, a body is, the more it can absorb, the more energy it can absorb.
Okay, so we are talking about a color in the sense that we know the description of a color.
Well, we know there are seven colors, and they each relate to a sephirah. And we know those colors. We know that the white is the right column, and the red is the left column, and the green is the central column.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, you are talking about the color like red, white, green, silver, gold, and so forth. But you're also talking about the level of a garment, being a body, being a covering.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I often think driving at night, and you see, and especially lately, it gets dark so early. At 5:15, it's dark, and you see the headlights of the cars coming towards you. And I don't know if this is after you've had cataract surgery, but it just seems to me that you see these, like a ball of light with radiating, and then some of the lights have a bluish cast. And I don't know, that was another picture I saw as we were reading. It made me think of driving down the highway you know, at night.
Yes. It's a nice metaphor. Let's read verse 143. Vera za demila kimadi achave lenishmata glabesha beya lemekem vechai alma hakein ame yachave lalevusha de zachara. Ila alamekam Beya behahu Alma ulista kala Begoy hahu aspaklaria Denahara migoy hahu Eretz hachayim. But the secret of the matter is that as the soul is giving garments to don, so it can exist in this world, which is the body, so it is also given garments of supernal radiance, and these allow it to exist in the world that is coming, and to see into the radiant mirror, which is there on Pin, from that land of the living, the female principle of Zeron Pin, or Malchut. Thus, the problem that arose in the verse, I said I shall not see Yah, is solved. The intention is that by these two implements, by the garment of the supernal radiance, and by the female principle of Zeron Pin called the land of the living, the righteous people deserve to see into the radiant mirror, which is the secret of Yah, Yod-Heh, in the land of the living. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Can I go back just very slightly to the verse before? And,
sure.
You know, to me, the light or the brightness, and I picture the wick of the candle, and when you light it, it has different levels of light. When you first light it, it has like a darkness to it. And then it becomes a blue, it becomes, or actually kind of a yellow, I think, yellow tint, then becomes a blue. Then at the very tip, if you ever watch the flame for a while, you see the different levels of light in the candle wick as it's burning.
That is correct. That is covered in the book of Leviticus when it talks about the menorah. The Zohar explains the four levels of light that the wick goes through, starting with the black at the bottom, which is Malchut, and then it goes through the yellow that you mentioned, and then it's the blue, and then the yellow, and then the white.
Yeah, I can't remember the last couple of colors, but it's a real brightness at the very top, very tip of it. So, and maybe that's what I need to visualize as the garments of light because of the candle and what it represents.
Very nice.
In what we're studying.
It's very nice.
We focused on our candles last Hanukkah, you remember? The aura and the light and the colors that we saw. And I mean, it was even evident in the pictures. You could
right.
see it.
Yeah, you can see the different levels.
I'm sorry. What you said? No, you broke up.
I said you can definitely see the layers of the light in a candle wick. So I guess to get a good understanding of what Hanukkah just said is to watch that wick burn from start, you know, to the highest radiance that it does.
It will help you understand what we're talking, what this verse is talking about. Yes.
Okay, a friend of mine was leading a Rosh Kiddush ladies group for Kislev this past month. And when they lit their candles, it was a purple hue at the very top. It was really very pretty. And she put it on Facebook and asked if anybody knew the significance of the purple.
Did you tell them?
No.
Because you didn't know or you didn't want to tell her?
Well, I thought of the verse in Proverbs 31, you know, about silk and purple or her clothing, and I felt like it probably was symbolizing the women who were present at that meeting, that it was reflecting their lights.
The purple color.
Doesn't purple mean like
royalty? You know, purple has to do with
yeah.
And I just felt like it was very good. I didn't comment.
Okay. The purple color represents, as you said, royalty. It represents Malchut. It represents the kingdom that is Malchut. It can also represent the kingdom.
The what? I'm sorry, Jabroka, represent the what?
It can also represent the Keter. Because the Keter is
okay.
The crown.
Okay, because
the beginning, right.
Right. The beginning. Like the end, and the beginning.
Mm-hmm. When the oil leaders are reading auras, they associate the deeper purple color to higher level souls, and the lighter level purple to a little bit lower level soul. Until they get through the other colors. But the aura, because the colors of your aura change as your mood changes. But whenever your aura is purple, it's an indication that you're at the level of the Keter within whatever frame of existence your thoughts are at that moment.
This is kind of off script, but it reminds me of the moon rings. I don't know if y'all remember the mood rings.
Yep. Yes.
There's also lipstick that does that too. That changes.
Which,
I've never had it, but I've heard about it. You know. So.
I your word broke up. So I'm not sure what word you were referring to.
I said I also heard about mood lipstick, that it changes colors according to your mood.
Right, according to your feelings
your
at the moment.
The emotions that you expect. Right.
The aura is a reflection of your mood. So it's absolutely true. So our next class is at 7 p.m. West Coast time, and it will be a Zohar class for the parasha of Vayeshev. Shalom to all of you.
Okay, thank you.
And we'll speak again, I guess, on Saturday night.
Okay.
Shalom.
Shalom.